I almost failed out of high school, failed out of college, dropped out of a second college before failing out. I felt like a lazy failure. That was my inner critic. Lazy failure was my go-to, and really felt hopeless and felt like I wasn't going to be able to do anything with my life. Literally since first grade, my progress report said like daydreamer, doesn't pay attention, doesn't try hard enough, needs to work harder, unmotivated. So rather than saying, okay, there's a set of skills Seth needs support with, I grew up with just a lot of the shame around that.
Is your child's challenging behavior leaving you feeling exhausted, defeated, and hopeless? You are not alone. And I want you to know you are not a failure and your child is not broken. Welcome to Calm the Chaos Parenting, the podcast for parents raising strong-willed, highly sensitive, or neurodivergent children. I'm Dana Abraham, parenting expert, and I have helped hundreds of thousands of families just like yours. Each week, I'll share simple science-backed solutions to help you feel more grounded, in tune, and deeply connected to your child, no matter what challenge you face. Start your journey from surviving to thriving as a family at calmthechaospodcast.com.
Have the stores around you started adding their back to school section? I was shopping just yesterday and I saw all the school supplies and all the snacks and all the things to get kids ready for school on sale at the store. And I thought, no, it's still the middle of summer. How is it possibly back to school? And I know with back to school comes the stress and the worry and the fear of our kids going back to school and then struggling and drowning in the schoolwork, not doing their homework, not wanting to get up, not staying organized, not being able to accept your help when you know they need help. And it brings on so much stress for us and so much stress for our kids. My daughter is homeschooled and she still walked into the store and went boo when she saw all the back to school gear at the store. If any of that rings true for you today, you are in the right place because I have got one of my good friends here, and he is the goat when it comes to schoolwork, organization, planning, you name it, which falls under a particular topic we're going to be talking about. But I'm so excited to have my good friend Seth here. Seth, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Dana Abraham. You are
I am so
awesome.
Excited to have you.
Hello, parents and teachers and everybody out there.
Thank you. So, Seth, before we dive in too much, I know you pretty well. I feel like we've worked together for the last few years. We do a lot of things together, specifically your summit that you have coming up that we'll have people share or we'll have you share about. Can you tell people who may not have been introduced to you yet and your awesomeness, who you are and what you do?
My name is Seth Perler. I have a site, sethperler.com, and executivefunctionsummit.com and executivefunctionlab.com. But the summit is a big back-to-school event that I do every year for parents of kids with executive function challenges, and then that's what all my work is about. So I am somebody who I quote, I was that kid, and I almost failed out of high school, failed out of college, dropped out of a second college before failing out. I felt like a lazy failure. That was my inner critic. That was my main message from my inner critic, although I had plenty more, but lazy failure was my go-to, and really felt hopeless and felt like I wasn't going to be able to do anything with my life. Literally since first grade, my progress report said like daydreamer, doesn't pay attention, doesn't try hard enough, needs to work harder, unmotivated, blah, blah. And so rather than saying, okay, there's a set of skills Seth needs support with, I grew up with just a lot of the shame around that. And I'm seeing the exact same thing in my work today. So while there are tons of people who are doing such good work and who really understand and get kids and get neurodiverse kids and executive function challenges, even if they don't know the word, and they teach and guide kids compassionately and empathetically, there are still those same patterns. And so what I do is I help kids build the executive function skill sets to be able to navigate school and life. And these are skills not only for school, but these are, in fact, the skills that every single human being needs in order to have a, quote, happy, healthy, successful future, which is what we want for our kids.
So I remember years ago, I had you on as a guest in my membership and had you talking about this thing called executive functioning. And at the time, I didn't know a ton about it. This was, I would say, probably 5 years ago, maybe even longer.
When we were just barely getting
to know. And I've come to learn. Yeah. So I've come to learn so much more about this topic over the years. And it's become something that I get pretty fired up about, but you are the GOAT when it comes to executive functioning. Can you share what exactly is executive functioning?
Yeah, I know some of you are watching the video and some of you are listening, but I'm holding up a brain. This is not a real brain. This is a model of the brain, and the executive function has to do with the front part of the brain, about the front third, the prefrontal cortex or frontal lobe, this front part of the brain. And the brain develops from the back forwards. So this part of the brain is the last part of the brain to fully develop, and it continues to develop until we're 25 or 30 years old. And this part of the brain helps us do anything and everything related to execution. And what I mean by execution in executive function is executing complicated tasks. That might be playing a video game, hanging out with your friends, baking a cake, going to the grocery store, doing homework, writing paper, doing a math problem. Anything that requires planning, organization, time management, focus, attention, concentration, inhibiting distractions, prioritizing the important thing over the fun thing when it matters. Anything that is required for execution is what that is what executive function does. So I talk about 13 or 14 different skills or skill sets around that, and different experts say that there are different amounts. It doesn't matter the amount. It's just anything that our brain is doing to help us to execute a task through to completion.
And what are some of the most common challenges, especially with an upcoming school year, that parents might be seeing, and they might not realize that those struggles are connected with executive functioning?
I think one of the biggest struggles with parents not realizing that it's related to executive function is this misunderstanding between the can't and the won't. So a parent or a teacher thinking that the kid just won't apply themselves. They just won't be disciplined. They just won't motivate themselves. They need to try harder. They just won't try. They just won't accept my help. They just won't use a planner or a calendar or an agenda. They just won't write down their homework. They just won't get started. They just won't put their things in the right place. Anything that starts with the two words, they just won't do whatever, often is an indicator of a misunderstanding in between. It's not a won't, it's a can't. They do not have the skills. And I know many people listening right now are going to say this statement, but I've seen them do it before. Which is based in misunderstanding.
Yeah. They can totally do this.
What they're not understanding is that you may have seen them do that thing before, but not in the context of that moment right then and there, and not in the context of what's going on with their nervous system and their emotional regulation in the moment, and their ability to comprehend the totality of the task that they're being asked to do. Clean your room, for example, or do your homework is not one thing. Clean your room is many, many subtasks. Do your homework is many subtasks, including before you even get started, just getting your stuff together to figure out what you even need to do. Just getting the environment prepared to sit down. These are things that are very complex. I've seen them do it before. It does not help. In fact, it often hurts. It hurts the relationship, and it hurts in terms of trying to get to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish, which is to help your kid get the thing done. Well, they need to get the thing done, sure, but they also need to build these skills around independently doing that. And we need to back way, 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 way up to help them build these micro skills and do what's called scaffolding. Or there's many different, a lot of the words you all hear me say.
What do you mean by back way, way up? Because yeah. I hear a lot of parents who are, when I say, especially I'll talk about, hey, you can't fix all these things and you can't go at it trying to fix your kid. And so let's pick one thing that we're going to focus on and then we'll go at it. But when people hear that, they think, well, then my kid's never going to learn, or they have to learn this skill, or they're just going to fail. And so what do you mean when you say back way, way, way up for a parent who is seeing all these struggles getting ready for school?
Yeah, so let's take some examples of getting ready for school. Let's take examples of getting ready for the fall, right? So we need to get the school supplies, figure out what's going on in each class, learn who the teacher is, learn what the expectations in that class are, have a homework routine, a place to do homework. What are we going to do about lunch and taking lunch to school, getting lunch at school, bringing the lunchbox home if there's a lunchbox, if it's a teenager, having the money that they need to do the thing, and are there devices charged? Do they have the right devices? Are there distractions on that? So you have to think through, like, in terms of getting all of these things ready, let's say for fall. And When I say back up, I mean that every single one of those things that I just listed, and there's so many more, getting notebooks, setting up the notebooks, not just grabbing a notebook and taking it to class, but actually taking time to think through, this is my math notebook, I'm going to use it like this, I'm going to use these kinds of pens or pencils or colors or highlighters, I'm going to dog ear pages like this, I'm going to decorate the outside, like those things, like where it seems like a lot of kids just seem to intuitively get like what to do with those things. Kids with executive function challenges, what's the purpose of doing that? So I can feel more organized. That's not a real high sell. Mm-hmm. So really not even taking the time to even think through how am I going to use this object called, let's say, a notebook to learn more this year. That doesn't even occur to us, those of us with those sorts of challenges, a lot of times. I listed a bunch of examples, but to take any of them and consider that there's a lot of executive function skill sets that need to be there in order to use the tool or do the thing. So it's backing way up to look at like, what are all of the ingredients of this thing? Again, we can say a notebook, folders, doing homeworks, a place for homework. What are the ingredients? And how do we help? How do we even see what ingredients they're missing in that and how to help? Or you can look at it as a toolbox. What toolbox do they need for this particular kind of task? And then how do we help them learn what the tools are in that toolbox and how to use them, and then how to have a habit and routine to use them? And parents, if you're getting overwhelmed right now, I understand, but it's not as complicated as you think. And that goes back to what Dana said a minute ago about one thing at a time.
Dana here, and guess what? My book, Calm the Chaos, has officially launched. So if you enjoy the podcast and find the stuff we're sharing valuable, I'm 100% sure you're going to love the book. You can get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com. And if you use this link, you'll also get some special bonuses. So once again, the link is calmthechaosbook.com. Thanks. I hope you're enjoying the show.
Yeah. And what you just said, I was thinking, I was picturing in my mind, like when I was in Kenya and I was taking photographs of all the wild animals. And there were times where I wanted to use a really long lens to be able to hone in on the one bird in the tree. And when I was honed in on that, I couldn't see all the surroundings. But there were times that I wanted a much shorter lens so that I could see the entire savanna and I could see everything around. I could see the sky, I could see the ground, I could see from side to side. And that's what you're kind of saying is like, put on a different lens instead of being so hyper focused on do this task, finish this thing, get this ready, zooming out and saying, wait a second, there are so many more steps here that you might be missing, that I might be missing. And so when I'm saying this is simple, you can do this, this is 5 minutes, just come on, why can't you just do it? It's like, oh, I can see why this would be hard. And giving that compassion and understanding.
Yeah. And I love that analogy. I do photography as well. And so we have landscape, right? And then we have macro. Yeah. Macro is like a bug's eye, you know, like super.
Yeah.
And yeah, we can get so focused on this thing needs to be done. And I love that you said that, because what happens at that point when a parent's like, okay, you said you want a summer job and you haven't even filled out an application. It doesn't happen by itself. And you can see this with such clarity, right? And you see, just fill out the application. And, but the big picture, if we zoom out, is that they don't even know, maybe, but let's say that they are not even comfortable going in and saying, who's the manager here? How do I ask for an application? Yeah. And what do I even do when I walk in the place? They don't even know how to start that.
And where can I even apply?
Or where can
like that's,
even apply?
That might even be the very first thing is like, who's even hiring right now? And how do I know if this is a place I want to work at? Like, how do I even make those decisions before I even get the application? And then when the application comes, it's like what you just said. And then after you get the application, it's like, wait a second, I need a resume. What's a resume? They're not teaching that in school, you know? And so, but it's such a good example of breaking it down. Now, what I see is the then polar opposite. I have a lot of really dedicated parents who have sunk their teeth into executive functioning and sensory processing and all these things that we talk about on this channel. And so they have the knowledge and the insight, they can have the compassion. And then they're like, let me set it up for you. Let me go ahead and do this for you. Let me go ahead and make the pretty notebooks and let me color code this for you. And here's your folder. And this is how you're going to use it. And here's our system. And here's our checklist.
Is that what you would recommend for parents when they know their child struggles with executive functioning?
That's actually an excellent question because it's so not black and white. Because on the one hand, we don't want to be their executive function. We don't want to do everything for them because then they are denied the opportunity to learn to build this skill set. We don't want to rescue them and enable them and do things in a maladaptive or dysfunctional or unhealthy way for them. Yet everything in our own parental anxiety can drive us to want to do that because we want to see them okay. So we have to play that game in our own mind to figure out what the balance is. On the one hand, we don't want to do it for them. On the other hand, there's absolutely a time and a place to do it for them. Less is more. Actually, Dana and I do know each other very, very well. And one of the things that Dana says to me all the time, I am the king of complicating things, even when I'm trying to simplify. Less is more. But this is so true with kids. Like, less is more. We want to help scaffold like one or two or whatever, a reasonable amount of skills so that they can actually be making progress. Not that the thing is just getting done, but that the skills used to get the thing done are being built. So there's a time when I would tell parents, for example, I talk about something called front-loading calendars for the entire school year, if with all the information you know about that school year. If your kiddo is really just struggling to get out the door in the morning with what they need and know how to hit the ground running on a school day, do not exhaust them by how tedious it would be to have them front load a calendar and how many, just do it for them. Now, you do want to be very mindful.
And that's probably not the kid that's going to get a color-coded notebook that he has to use a certain way and he has to fill out a certain way because he's already in survival mode just trying to get out the door in the morning. You're right. Going to simplify the systems.
Actually, that's a good point too. For a kiddo like that, I'd be like, okay, we're doing one folder. Just get all your new things into one folder tonight and your parents can help you sort through. Yes, it's going to be scaffolded for that person. So if you're taking notes, here's what I want you to remember, that you want to give as much freedom as possible and as little structure as needed, but as much, I wish I could articulate this beautifully, but I hope you get the point. Yeah. As much structure as is needed for them to be successful. And when I say be successful, let me reword that, to have an experience of success with what you're doing. I'm going to say that again, to have an experience of success with what you're doing, meaning they're walking away going like, oh, okay, that worked.
That worked.
Cool. I'm not overwhelmed. I can do that little thing. If you have a second grader compared to a senior in high school, it's going to be very different with what that is. Mm-hmm. But the principle is the same. We want to scaffold them so that they can be building these skill sets and have an experience of success so that they can build and build onto those.
Yeah.
Did that make sense?
It does. It makes a ton of sense. And I always say it's about creating systems that work for your child's unique brain. And so that does take, like you said, that zooming out and saying, what is the full picture here? What can they handle? It doesn't mean that I'm going to take everything I've learned about executive functioning and then I'm going to place it on my kid and expect my kid to be able to use it. Because one, that's your system. That's not their system. And two, it could be too much for them. So you want to use almost like a dial, like when you are recording or mixing or something, you've got those little dials like that go up and down. Like an EQ. You want to make sure that you're dialing it up and down just right for your kid. And all of us are going to have a different mix.
And when you're building these small skills, it does have a snowball effect on other skills. Mm-hmm. So there's a positive effect on other things as well. Mm-hmm. So that's really reassuring to know.
So I think one of my final questions, I've got just a couple of questions. And one is, what do you do if your kid is absolutely resistant to your support and help?
There's a lot of things you can do. One is that you can, first of all, if it's an urgent time, don't be the one who's supporting them and helping them. And that doesn't mean you have to pay an expensive coach. You can have a trusted friend or relative of a friend of the family or relative, or a high school, if your kid's in a middle school or elementary, a high school tutor that you trust. Or there's also probably resources in your district and in your school and people that care about your kiddo in your school. Like, use people who aren't you to help your kid build the skills. So that's one thing. Two is work on the relationship, attachment theory, secure attachment. Our nervous systems are always communicating. When we walk by somebody in the grocery store, you may not realize that, but your nervous system just spoke to their nervous system and just at least had this conversation. Hey, how's it going? Are you safe or are you a threat to me? Okay, we're cool. I'm going to go grab my Fruit Loops or whatever. And our nervous systems are always communicating. So with relationships and attachment theory and secure attachment, and there's all sorts of models of therapy and things like that that people can look into around this stuff. But I really like how attachment theory and somatic experiencing mm-hmm. and polyvagal theory, if people are taking notes and want to go down those rabbit holes, understanding that your child's resistance has a lot to do with that. They feel threatened and unsafe. Their nervous mm-hmm. system feels threatened and unsafe. Did you study for your test? Leave me alone. I've got this. I can handle this. Why don't you ever trust me? Blah, blah, blah. And you're like, whoa, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. The nervous system, it's not a moral thing. Your kid's being disrespectful. Like their nervous system feels unsafe. That does not resolve itself. This takes work on the part of the parents. And that's what I hear. And I know you hear the same thing as we talked about this, but hear so much from parents that, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how much work I was doing. I needed to do on myself. And when I've done so much work on myself, things have gotten so much better with my kiddo. That's because that the attachment is more secure and they are more regulated and they're thus more willing to receive your help. You have better tools mm-hmm. of how to help them and offer help in a way that it can be received and things like this.
And Seth, I always ask this one question every time I do an interview on the podcast, and that is, if you had a parent sitting right in front of you and they are worried about their kid who they know is going to be drowning this school year, mm-hmm. and they are pretty sure that it is executive functioning struggles, what do you say to them if you just had 1 minute?
Boy, I'd probably think for 50 seconds and then say something.
This is payback because you asked the same question during your summit.
That's true.
So this is payback to you.
I'd probably say do the deep inner work, do your own, get your own therapist, counselors, psychiatrists, psychologists, books, groups, do your own research, your own journaling, your own work on you first. Not first, like it's sequential. And then I guess what I would say is do your own work on you and ask for help. Ask for mm-hmm. help. Meaning there's whether or not you out loud ask for it or you go get books or resources or things like that. But learning this stuff, Dana, is a study. The parents and teachers, we are studying. I am good at what I do, A, because I went through it myself as a kiddo. But B, because nowadays I'm obsessed with this and I study. To this day, I study. I learn. I think of this as this is like my school. I love to learn this stuff. This is a study. You can read Dana's book. There's a million people out there that are doing such good work. Study. Ask for help. People have figured this stuff out and go use those resources. Don't overwhelm yourself with a billion things, but take some resources you like. Authors, speakers, talks, classes, whatever, again, your own therapist, this or that. And think of it as a study. This is work. This isn't just, oh, my kid needs to work harder and blah, blah, blah. And the school needs to do this better. And blah. It's like, this is the most important thing in our life. The most important thing in our life, our family, our kid. It requires, so I think that would be the 1 minute or less than I probably could have said it mm-hmm. in less than a minute, but take it as a study.
I love that. And talking about a study, you have got a summit coming up that is the perfect course, even though it's not a course, but you've got this beautiful summit where you have gathered the best of the best in the parenting field, in the field of psychology, in the field of executive functioning and things like that. So can you share a little bit about the summit and where people can learn more about how to take part?
Yeah, it's at executivefunctionsummit.com. And every year we get people, I like to get people who come from the heart, who are passionate, like Dana, who are passionate about what they do and who, like Dana, I'm sorry to toot Dana's horn so much, but she is awesome, but who are sharp, who are skilled at communicating about solutions and things that we can implement. So I focus very much on implementation because parents want to know what to do to help their kids. And so executivefunctionsummit.com, it's a free weekend coming up and it's just an amazing resource from the heart that gives you practical things.
And we'll make sure to put the link in the show notes. If you need more support, definitely check out Seth and all that he has to offer. If you're listening to this and it's after the fact of the summit, he also has lots of resources on his website. We'll link those as well in the show notes. But I just want you to realize that you are not alone in this journey, and you're not the only one worried, stressed out, nervous about the school year ahead. And if your child is pushing against you, or they're struggling to do the things with school, I want you to know that they are not a failure, and neither are you. And there's lots of support out there. Just like Seth said, reach out, ask questions, ask for help, and know that you're not alone. And I'll talk to you guys on next week's episode. Bye, guys.
Oh, and before I go, one quick note for all of you who are enjoying the podcast. My new book is officially live, and I know you're going to love it. So just a quick reminder, you can go get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com. And if you do, you'll get some cool bonuses as well. Once again, get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com, and I'll see you next week.